1 Corinthians chapter 14, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Praise God. Father, we thank you today that you are the teacher, the great teacher here amongst us. You open our eyes, you open our ears to hear and to see what you want us to see and hear, Lord. Give us ears to hear your voice today. I thank you, Father, that as I speak, the anointing of the Spirit touches hearts, and you guide into truth those that are seeking you, Lord. I thank you that you give answers to questions, revelation to areas of darkness and misunderstanding. Lord, you clear it up through your wisdom and through your light today by the Holy Ghost, in Jesus' name. All right. We're going to minister to you today on praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. And you say, well, Pastor, is that praying in the Spirit like S with a, like a capital S, like the Holy Spirit? Or is it like little s, like my spirit? Yes. It's both. Praying in the Spirit refers to praying from our newly created spirit, that part of you that got born again when you accepted Jesus in your heart, when you believed the gospel. The Bible says that our spirit that once was dead, it was separated from the life of God, it came alive, and it was recreated in the image of God. Amen. Your newly born again spirit looks just like Jesus. If I could pull it out of you right now and stand it right here, and Jesus walked in the room himself, y'all would look like twins. Amen. Do you realize that? Yeah, that's the truth. You and Jesus would look like twins because your born again spirit is pure, holy, blameless. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, free from accusation. It is sacred. Your spirit looks just like Jesus. Now, your mind doesn't. We're working on that. We're going there. That's called the renewal of the mind. But your spirit is exactly like Jesus. And so when we talk about praying in the Spirit, we're talking about praying, the believer praying in a language unknown to them. We call it a heavenly language, through the enablement of God's Holy Spirit within us. Amen. Like on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Now, the word tongues is a little freaky sounding to some. It kind of reminds you of, you know, you people think, well, does that mean my head spins and I turn green and do all kinds of things like I'm out of control? Just think of tongues as languages. I hope one of these days a modern translation will come out that says, and speaking in other languages. I mean, the word tongues almost, it's almost a spooky meaning to some, but it's really not spooky at all, is it?
No.
Of course not. 1 Corinthians 14:14. Let's go there. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. That is so weighty. I hope you'll underline those three words in your Bible. Highlight it, circle it. My spirit prayeth. Not your mind. That part that I said we're still working on. Still has some crazy thinking in there. It's like a computer with bugs. Your mind's got bugs in it. That's the reality. When you got saved, your mind was still the same mind you had before you got saved. That's what we're working on. But your spirit, the Bible says, when you pray in the Spirit, your spirit prayeth. Say that with me. My spirit prayeth. And what does it go on to say? But my understanding or my mind is unfruitful. Well, what does your spirit sound like when your spirit prayeth? Words you don't understand. French, German, Spanish, Portuguese. Heavenese. That's what it sounds like when your spirit prayeth. Praying in the Spirit is the sole activity which born-again people will engage in this life that is nearest to anything we'll do in heaven. Think about that. You know, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, the Bible says the disciples were meeting together in a room and they had the doors tightly locked. You can understand why, can't you? Where are they at? They're in Jerusalem. That quote-unquote holy city where they crucified Jesus. And they think, we're next. So they lock the doors tight, they bolt them extra, and Jesus comes and walks through the wall. And the Bible says in Corinthians 15, 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus is the first fruits of those, meaning he's the first of many to come, which is us. One day you and I will be able to walk through walls. Won't that be cool? But you know, in this life, we very seldom hear of people doing that, right? You know anybody who's been doing that lately? Not me, Rick. However, speaking Heavenese, speaking Japanese, speaking whatever-ese that you don't know how to do in your own ability is something that we'll do in heaven. one day. Did you know that? You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, because in the book of Revelation, everywhere there's a song. When John saw pictures of a people from every tribe, language, and nation standing before the throne, are you really naive enough to think as an American Christian that they were all speaking English? When they said, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. What language were they speaking? Who knows? John doesn't tell us. But John, who was a Jew and spoke Aramaic and probably Greek, probably not English, heard them saying certain words and he wrote them down. Well, how did he know that? Because he was there in heaven, if you will, on the spot, hearing them in a language, who knows what language it was, but he could understand it enough that he could write it in Greek, in Hebrew, whatever language he spoke. Are you with me? And then there are other scriptures in Revelation where it says, and the angels fall down and say, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. What language do you think the angels speak in heaven? Who knows? But John knew. Now, how did he know that? Apparently, in the next life, when we step into glory, we can speak intermittent languages. We understand angelic North 40 dialect and the southern angels, too. And we understand Japanese, Chinese, NEEs that we never learned in this life. Are you with me? Years back, we promoted a book here in church, and I believe in its veracity. It's called My Time in Heaven by Richard Sigmund. And I just in studying for this message yesterday, I flipped to a chapter where he addresses briefly. He says, heavenly and human languages. I want to read to you a portion from this. He says, in heaven, you can speak in a heavenly language anytime you want, and the people there can understand you. I heard a language that sounded like Russian spoken by certain groups of people, yet other people whom I knew were not Russian could walk up to them and speak perfectly in that dialect. These people also spoke in a heavenly dialect, and they spoke perfect English as well. It seems that in heaven, you have the ability to speak all human languages in addition to heaven's own languages. You say, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, go with Revelation, the book of Revelation, okay? What I just gave you as an example. But I believe it. Do you believe it? Amen. I believe when we get to heaven, you'll be able to understand any language. Amen. You'll be able to speak any language, earthly or heavenly. Paul the Apostle writing said, if I speak in the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, right? So apparently there's going to come a time in our life, in the next life, in which we can speak the tongue of men and of angels. We call that speaking in tongues. Amen? Amen? Speaking in tongues. That's what Paul's referring to here in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. My spirit prayeth. Turn to Mark 16, Mark chapter 16. And verse 17, Mark 16. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to bring a hard version Bible. We put the scriptures up on the screen for those who lost their Bible that morning. But I encourage you to bring a hard copy. Why? Because when you see it in print before your eyes in letters that make sense to your eyes, as far as font size, amen, there's just something powerful there about you seeing the word in front of you. So Mark 16, verse 17 says this, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they displace devils or cast them out. Amen. They shall speak with what? New tongues. You know, when the Bible says in Corinthians 5, 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That word new really means this, it communicates this idea of a species that has never existed before. Did you know that you're of a species, if you're born again in here today, you have never existed before. Do you realize that? Now, I know you're human. Humans have existed before. But a born-again human is a first since about 2,000 years ago. Are you with me? There's never been a time in history. The history of the world goes back, if you believe, you know, traditional Bible theory, it goes back about 6,000 years, 2,000 to the cross and about 4,000 before that, which puts us at about 6,000 years old, which means man's number is the number 6. God's number is the number 7. We're about to step into God's perfection. Amen. We're right on the cusp, right? But you are a new creation of a different kind, a species that has never existed before. It is becoming for a new creation that they should speak new tongues. Amen. Like it says here in Mark 16:17. It's only fitting. In fact, I refer to it as this. It's the voice of the church. Amen. This isn't something man thought up since 100 years ago when the Pentecostal movement swept through the Western Hemisphere. No, this is not a Pentecostal thing. This is a God thing. This is a grace age thing. This is a post-resurrection thing. Every man who's been born again since the cross, since Jesus rose from the dead, has the ability and should speak in a new tongue.
That's right.
We're a species of a new kind. We've never existed before on the earth. Jesus is the first fruit, and we are following right behind him. He walked through walls. One day we'll be able to walk through walls in our glorified body. Amen. I believe Jesus spoke in tongues. Now that could go off in another direction in a theory, but I always wondered that. Did Jesus speak in tongues when he was here on the earth? The Bible says when he came up out of the water, the Holy Spirit came on him fully. Mm-hmm. What was that? That was the immersion in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell us anywhere in the Gospels that Jesus spoke in tongues. However, this is just my theory, okay? It's not gospel, so just, would you indulge me for a moment with my theory? I believe when Jesus was in private prayer time, because he was limited as a man, and we are limited as men, he had the ability to pray to the Father in another language, in heavenese, which he knew from times past, right? Before he came to the earth, he knew heavenese, and he knew all languages. I believe Jesus spoke in tongues. That's just my personal belief. You don't have to believe it. It's not a requirement for membership here, but anyways. He that prays in an unknown tongue prays with his spirit, his born-again spirit. We're back in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm sorry, I should have told you to keep a marker there. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 15. The next verse says, what is it then? Paul says, I will pray with the spirit or in my spirit or from my born-again spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit or in the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In other words, the idea is this. Once you have prayed in that unknown language to you, there will come understanding. It doesn't mean you have to interpret everything you say when you're praying in the Holy Spirit. But it does mean that there will come an understanding. And Paul says, I'll pray with tongues or in another unknown language that I don't know. And then there will come an understanding and I'll pray in my known language. It's good to have both, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have a balance. I heard someone say a while back, the Lord kind of corrected them because they were spending most of their prayer time just praying in tongues, not praying in English at all. And God corrected them and said, you need to engage your brain. Because see, the Bible tells us there in 1 Corinthians 14:14, it says, when I pray with the Spirit, my mind is unfruitful. In other words, your mind is sitting back, tapping its watch. Hey, I'm sitting over here bored. What are you doing? Your spirit's just humming like a motor. But your mind wants to be engaged, all right? Now, we keep our mind under submission. In other words, you balance your prayer life well. Pray in the Spirit a bunch. Why? Because when you pray, we're going to see in just a little bit, one other scripture I'm sharing with you today, that when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying for things you don't know. And we have physical vision. We don't have spirit vision apart from the gift of discernment of spirits. So we are limited to what we see in this life. You say, well, my boss is acting grumpy at work. All you see is your boss acting grumpy at work. What you don't see is the spirit behind your boss that's driving him, that's making him act grumpy at work. Are you with me? But when you pray in the Spirit, you're addressing things unseen. You're addressing what you can't see with your physical eyes. That's why it's so very important to pray in the Spirit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Listen, the prophets of old prophesied that there would be a day that the people of God would speak in an unknown tongue. That's found in Isaiah 28:12. You can go back and read it later on your own time. Isaiah 28:12. The prophet, 700 years before Jesus, said this, times of refreshing will come. Amen. Refreshing will come. Hallelujah. He said, this is the rest whereby the weary may rest. Listen, you can only pray so long in your language and you're going to wear out quick. The disciples were right there with Jesus on the night he was betrayed and they got weary fast and fell asleep. Why? Because they only could pray in Hebrew. They could pray in their known tongue. But listen, when you can pray from your born again spirit, man, I'm telling you, how many of you have experienced this? After 10, 15 minutes, all of a sudden your spirit begins to soar. And it takes off. It's like an airplane taking off. And a big plane sometimes takes a while to get off the ground. But once it's off, baby, it can fly. It can soar. And you can go on for hours. Hours. I want to share a couple stories with you here this morning. Because the Lord's telling us as a church, it's time to take the limits off. Amen?
Amen.
it's time to take the limits off. This is from a book called Tongues Beyond the Upper Room by Kenneth E. Hagin. And this is a story of a farmer who had a daughter on the mission field. And the farmer's wife's name was Blanche. The daughter was also named Blanche. And she was this man and his wife, they had been missionaries to Africa during the wars leading up to World War I. And they came back to the States. They retired. And he used to operate a dairy farm. And I'll just read it. Blanche's father didn't operate the dairy farm any longer, but he still kept three cows, which he would milk every day and sell the cream. One morning, Blanche's elderly father got up at dawn, as he always did, and started out toward the barn to milk the cows. Halfway between the house and the barn, he was arrested in his spirit with a strong inner impression that something was wrong. Some way or another, the farmer knew it was about his daughter Blanche, who was on the mission field, so he set down the milk pails and returned to the house. Blanche's mother had just started to make breakfast on the old wood stove, and when her husband walked in the back door, she looked at him and exclaimed, "You look like you just saw a ghost. What's the matter?" "I don't know," the farmer said, "but something's wrong with Blanche. She's in trouble. She's near death. Her physical life is in danger. We have to pray." "How do you know?" his wife asked. "I can't tell you I know. I just know it's on the inside of me." That was the Spirit of God letting this farmer know something about the unknown. So the elderly father and mother got down on their knees right here on the kitchen floor, and the man said to the Holy Spirit, "I don't know what's wrong, but something is wrong with Blanche, and I don't know how to pray for her as I ought, but you do, Holy Spirit. So please help us make intercession for our daughter." They began to pray with other tongues. That was about 5:30 in the morning. Hours passed. Noon came and went. The cows were lowing. They hadn't been milked. The hogs were squealing and the chickens were clucking. They hadn't been fed. But still the farmer and his wife prayed on in other tongues for their daughter. Then about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the elderly man began to laugh and sing in tongues. He said to his wife, "Blanche is going to be all right." Now let me stress this one more time. Once you get the note, once you begin to pray this way, you keep on praying until you get a note of victory. Amen. In your spirit. You may have the urge to laugh, worship, or sing in tongues, and then you'll know that you've prayed the burden through. It was nearly 6 weeks later that Blanche's parents received a letter from their son-in-law. In the letter to his in-laws, the missionary explained, "Several weeks ago, Blanche contracted one of the deadly fevers that are common over here. The people told us there was no cure for her." This was around the year 1910 or 1920. The son-in-law wrote, "Blanche sunk to the edge of death. In fact, as far as we could tell, she died. We couldn't detect any life in her, but then all of a sudden, Blanche rose up well." Amen. The parents wrote back and asked, "What day and time did Blanche rise up well?" And they didn't tell their daughter and her husband why they were asking. When they received a letter in response, they compared notes with the date and time of their urgent need to pray for Blanche. They found out the hours when she had sunk close to death were the very hours when they had been praying for her. And when they figured in the difference in time zones, they realized the moment their daughter rose up healed in Africa was the same moment, 2 o'clock their time, that the father was laughing in the spirit and singing in tongues. Praise God. That's what happens when you pray in the spirit. You may not know why you're called upon to pray in the spirit, but if you obey that inner voice, that inner prompting, how many of you ever had that inner prompting that something was wrong with a child, a grandchild, and you obeyed it, and you found out later why you were called upon to obey it? Yeah, it's very powerful. You want to hear one more? Okay. Brother Boley was a missionary in Africa at the turn of the 20th century. I was a young minister at the time. Kenneth Hagin is writing this. He was a young minister at that time. And I attended a meeting where Brother Boley related these two experiences. On one occasion, a rival hostile tribe stole a 6-year-old girl from the village where Brother Boley was preaching, and nearly everyone had gotten saved. Brother Boley said, "We knew from experience that if we didn't get that little girl back before nightfall, she would never be recovered." So these two tribes spoke different dialects, so Brother Boley left for the rival tribe's village with one of the natives, a Christian convert who could speak either dialect. He hoped to barter with the chief, trading the child for beads and trinkets. That sounds like a good deal to me. Miles before the... let me skip ahead. Brother Boley and his companion finally reached the chief and traded a bunch of trinkets and beads for the girl. At that point, however, nighttime overtook them, and it was a problem because it's impossible to travel in the dense jungle at night. The two men were led to the guest quarters of the village, a primitive thatched roof hut. Darkness fell, and they had nothing left to do but lay down on the hard ground and go to sleep. But hours later, around midnight, they were wakened by sounds of drums rolling. And Boley asked his companion, "What does the sound of these drums mean?" The native companion replied, "That's the death sentence they have passed on us. It's finally dawned on the chief that he's already got our trinkets, so now he can kill us and still keep the girl." Wow, that's not a good guy to do business with. "The drums are signaling the tribe's intention to come and kill us. They're coming with bolo knives that can slice a man's head off easily." Brother Boley and the native interpreter could hear the approaching enemy rustling outside their thatched roof hut. You don't want to say that three times quickly. So Boley said to the other man, "Let's kneel down and commit ourselves into the hands of God. Then we won't wait for them to come in and get us. Let's go out first, and I'll lead the way." Brother Boley related what happened next. "After we prayed, I shut my eyes, pulled back the grass thatch entrance covering, and stepped out of the hut. I stood in front of the hut for what seemed like a long time, though I'm sure it was only a few seconds." Of course, in a time like that, a few seconds can seem like a very long time. He continued, "Suddenly I realized that no one had cut off my head." That's a great revelation. "I could hear the sound of these warriors saying something, so I opened my eyes and looked around at the tribal warriors surrounding me. They were all on their knees with their faces bowed to the ground and their bolo knives lying on the ground beside them. Just then the interpreter stepped out of the hut, and Boley asked him, 'What are these warriors saying?' 'They're worshiping you as God,' he exclaimed." Brother Boley asked his interpreter to find out what had happened. The village warriors told the interpreter, "When this foreigner stepped out of the hut, two giant men in shining white apparel, 9 feet tall with huge swords, stepped out on either side of him." Pretty cool, huh? Now, what you don't know behind the story is part two. 2 weeks later, Brother Boley was planning another mission trip, and he found out that one of his staff members was at a mission station and was working alone. So Brother Boley went to see this young woman who was operating the mission station all by herself. And while he was there, she asked him, "Brother Boley, did something happen to you sometime around midnight on Monday night? Was your life in danger?" "Why do you ask?" he asked. "Well, I worked here by myself between 10 and 12 hours a day. But one night I was very tired and went to bed and almost immediately fell asleep. It was about 10:30 that night, but I was awakened with a heavy burden to pray, so I got out of bed, sunk to my knees, and began to pray in other tongues." The woman continued to pray from 10:30 until midnight. "That whole time," she said, "it seemed like your face kept flashing before me as I prayed. Then I had a note of victory and began to sing in tongues and laugh in the Holy Ghost." Brother Boley said, "Sister, just about the time you had begun to laugh is when I stepped out of the hut to meet a group of hostile warriors, and their attack was stopped by the two shining, gigantic men they saw on either side of me." The question remains, what if the woman hadn't obeyed the urge to pray? Right? Praise the Lord. Isn't that awesome? We don't know what we ought to pray for. Listen, you're a spirit being. Before you got born again, you were aware of two things, your body and your mind. Your mind's been educated all your life if you went to school. Your body's been telling you what to eat and where to go all your life as well. Amen. But once you got born again, there was a third part of you that came alive, and it's called your spirit. Amen. And the Bible teaches us there's a time to pray in the spirit, meaning praying from that inner man in you that is perfect, that is just like Jesus. And even when you don't know why you're praying or what you should be praying for, if you'll follow that inner prompting, if you'll obey it, you'll see wonderful things happen in your life, like Brother Boley. Amen. Turn to one more scripture with me, Romans 8:26. We're going to wrap it up with this. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26 says, "In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness or our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." You know, in the beginning of that verse, it says, "The Spirit helpeth." You see that in the King James? "The Spirit also helpeth." That word "helpeth" or "help" in the original language that the Bible was written in, which was what? Greek, right? Because during the time of the writing of the New Testament, the common language was Greek. So they wrote the Bible, the New Testament portion, I should say, in Greek. And that word "helpeth" right there, where it says the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. That word "helpeth" in the Greek is a really long word. I'm gonna do my best not to butcher it. Sunantilambonomai. Here's what it means. All right, I know you're not here to study Greek. That's not why you came to church. But sunanti lombonomai means this: to take hold of, opposite, together. Isn't that good? To take hold of, opposite one another, but together. And that's what the Holy Spirit does in our lives when we pray in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is concerned with the things that are important to you. He takes hold of those things with you in prayer opposite you, which means you got to do your part. Amen. You got a part to play. You got to open your mouth. Amen. And release those languages out of you that you don't understand and your mind's going, come on, come on, come on. I don't know what we're talking about here. But that's what you do. That's your part. To take hold of opposite together. For what purpose? Because we don't know what we ought to pray for. And I just gave you two really concrete examples of people who had no clue what they should be praying for or why they felt the urge to pray. But when they took hold of it together with the Holy Ghost, opposite Him, but them doing their part, wonderful things happened. Amen? You know, it's like a professional. A professional in any field, if you were to attempt something that you're not skilled at, and you were working with a professional. How many of you ever taken dance lessons? Ever taken ballroom dance lessons? I tried that a couple years ago. And there'd be times when I just couldn't get my step right. And I hated that because I could sense the teacher. I knew what was coming next. Here, let me show you. And so the teacher would come over and I'd be the woman. He'd be the man. Here, Scott, you be the woman for a minute. And he'd walk me through the steps. But you know what? In his stance, as he walked me through, because he's the professional, I looked like I knew what I was doing. Because he took hold of opposite together with me. Are you with me? And they always make it seem easy. A professional will make it look easy, don't they? Listen, I want to tell you something, saints. We know as believers, we know as Christians, we should pray. I'm going to tell you something. You don't have a clue what to pray for. And I don't either. There's so much happening around us in this crazy world. We have no clue what we ought to be praying most of the time. But when the Holy Ghost steps in and he takes hold of us, with us, I should say, he takes hold of that prayer request opposite us, together with us, he can help us in our weakness. Amen. Sun anti lombanomai. Don't forget the word. Praise the Lord. Stand together with me. Now more than ever, it's so important to be sensitive to this. Saints, Paul said this 2,000 years ago. We are those on whom the ends of the earth have come. He said that 2,000 years ago. Now, if he believed that in his heart some 2,000 years ago, and 2,000 years have passed since that was written, how much more? Amen. Are we those on whom the ends of the earth have come? We could be the generation that doesn't see death. Do you realize that? There's going to be one generation that never sees death. The saints that are here on the earth when Jesus returns and catches us away. We refer to that as the rapture. In these hours, in these moments, it's crucial that you be sensitive. That when you're prompted, you obey that prompting. You could be saving a life. You could be interceding for a missionary far across the world you don't even know, and God could be tapping you in that moment saying, I need someone to pray. And it's so powerful when we do. Amen. Your spirit has the ability to light up with the Holy Ghost, light up with those heavenly languages, and pray for things that are beyond this world, beyond our understanding. And God will give you the ability to do that. Listen, if you're here today after the service, we do have a meeting with parents and grandparents. Again, don't forget that children's meeting. If you have children that would be possibly in the Christmas program coming up, go right down the hallway here in just a moment. They're not going to keep you more than 5 or 10 minutes. Sister April's going to go over the plans with you for that program. But if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not baptized in the Holy Ghost. I don't know anything you're talking about this thing called speaking in tongues, or you want to be filled today, this could be your day. We'll pray for you. We'll be here at the altar to pray for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that you can do what the Bible says for us to do. Amen. To pray in the Spirit and pray in the understanding. Now, most of you pray in the understanding, but not every one of you pray in the Spirit. But God will give you the ability to do that. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your presence. We thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, for those on our left, those on our right, that you've given to us, our brothers and sisters, who are committed as we are to pray in the Spirit for one another. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the power through the Holy Spirit to pray in a language we don't understand, to pray about things we don't know are happening in our lives, but are so important to understand. Lord, we thank you for the power to pray in the Spirit. Awaken in us, Lord, today, a fresh initiative to pray in the Spirit. Saints, you can do this while you're driving. You know, God could have said the mark of a believer being filled with the Holy Spirit is to do somersaults. But you know, you can't do somersaults when you're driving. You can't do cartwheels while you're driving. But he said it's speaking in tongues. The mark of a new creation is they will speak in a new language. You can speak while you're driving. You can speak while you're carrying a box at work. You can speak in tongues while you're doing dishes, ladies, while you're changing diapers, etc. You can speak in tongues anytime, and the Lord can use that prayer language in your life to be a blessing and meet the needs of others. So if you want to be filled today, Lord, I just thank you that you're here to meet us. You're here to fill us with your Holy Spirit and renew us with a new language of power and authority in the spirit realm. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need to be born again, for just one moment, keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. Just for privacy's sake, I want to open up the opportunity for you to receive the Lord Jesus. If you say, I've not been born again, or I'm coming back to the Lord, I've been away from God, I want to come back into fellowship today, I'd like my sins to be washed away in the blood of Jesus. If that's you, anyone at all, you say, Pastor, pray for me, I'd like to receive Jesus today. Raise your hand real quick, and we're going to say a prayer together to help you do that. Anybody at all? Say, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to surrender totally to him. Anybody at all? Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's pray a prayer together. Say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I believe he is your son. And on the third day, you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for washing away my sins in the precious blood of Jesus. Thank you for making me your child and saving me from my sin. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, parents, grandparents, meeting here in the children's wing. And next Sunday, be prepared for the big picnic. God bless you.